And that's not our way either. And you may have heard this story before, but it's worth repeating. When I lived in Malta, and I was quite a new student of Christian Science, and I was very eager to learn everything I could about it. And the woman who was the first reader in our little group there, it's an informal group, was a lovely woman from England. And she sort of took me under her wing, and she would invite me to her apartment every Thursday after she had finished reading on Wednesday. And we would talk about Christian Science, and she would share stories and tell me how to work about things. And I loved this woman, and I loved going to her house. But one week, my husband came home and said that they were having a church parade on Sunday, and that the wives and families were to go to this parade. So I was the only Sunday school teacher in this little group, and I had actually brought 8 boys from a neighbor who I asked her, would her sons like to go to Sunday school? She said, I don't know if they would like to go, but I would love them to go for an hour's peace. She had 8 boys, and I took them to Sunday school, and my own boy, David, and another friend's boy were all in our Sunday school class, so it was quite good. So I rang my friend, and I said to her, I won't be able to go to church to go teach in Sunday school this Sunday, because I have to go to this church parade. Oh, my dear, she said, you'll be at your church. She said, you have to go to church. That's your place, and that's where you have to be. And I said, well, I don't think so. I said, my husband lets me go to Sunday, to church every Sunday. And one Sunday in the year, he's asked me to do this thing. So I think that I should go. She said, do you call yourself a Christian Scientist? And I said, well, I'm trying to be. She said, I expect you at church with those 8 boys. So Sunday came, and I went to the church parade. And we came home, and as is the fashion in Malta, you have a siesta in the afternoon because it's so hot. And we all went to bed for our siesta when the doorbell went. And it was this woman and her husband. And boy, did she tell me off. And she said, how dare I, and who did I think I was, and I was wasting her time teaching you anything about Christian Science. It's obvious that you know nothing. And I was very upset about this, and I began to cry, and she went out, and I stayed away from church for a couple of weeks because I didn't know what to do, and I really tried to work this out. And I read the article from Prose Works, Love Your Enemies. I read that, and I saw that I had to do something. I had to pray about the situation. So I prayed, really prayed. And I wrote her a letter, and I said, I'm really sorry if I have offended you. But I said, I'm not sorry for what I did, because I think I did the right thing. I don't apologize for that. But I'm apologize if I hurt you or offended you, and I wouldn't like anything to come between us. So at the end of that week, I had the most awful letter from this woman who said she'd been swimming in the pool on the previous Saturday, and she hit her head against the edge of the pool, and she was knocked unconscious, and only her husband seen her. He came and rescued her and got her out. She would have drowned. And then she said, and this was malpractice from you. She said, as soon as I got in, I saw your letter, and I knew that it was your malpractice. Well, I didn't know what malpractice was. I was a new student of Christian Science. I hadn't a clue what malpractice was. And I really didn't understand this. And I was so upset. I was crying all the time. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. And I said to my husband, I'm going to leave church. I'm going to resign from church. This is the kind of church that I joined. I don't understand it. I don't know what makes people tick. Well, one Sunday afternoon, the other five members out of the group came to my house to see me. And they told me that this woman had showed them the letter for me. And she had told them how she suffered from malpractice and almost drowned. And they said, "We think that you should send this letter to the Mother Church, because we think that she's in the wrong. And you should send this nasty letter that she sent to Boston and tell Boston she should not be in our desk reading." Well, at first I went along with that. I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and write Boston a letter. And then I remembered that I'd read somewhere, I think it was in the manual, that church, branch churches have to work out their own problems. And I thought, we have to work this one out. So I went on praying about it and praying about it, but I couldn't get much sleep. And I was so upset. And one night I got up and I was reading the lesson again. The tears were rolling down my face. And I read in the lesson where Jesus said to Peter, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So I thought, who does God say that I am? Does he say I'm a terrible sinner and that I'm a bad Christian Scientist? God doesn't even know if I'm a Christian Scientist, and he certainly doesn't see me as a sinner. So God is saying to me and about me, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." And I began to feel a bit of peace, and I thought, now maybe I'll get some sleep. And I put the books down and I went to get up, and suddenly it was like somebody pushed me down in the chair, and the wee voice said, "Whom does God say that she is?" And I said, "That's her problem." She's the experienced Christian Scientist. Let her work it out. She's telling me what to do. Let her do it. I went to get up again, got pushed down again. The wee voice said, "That won't do, Myrtle. That won't do. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven alone. You can't enter the secret place unless you bring your brother man with you and you see the truth for him as well." So I thought, that's just God's perfect child. And the wee voice said, "That's not the way you said it about yourself." What way did you say it about yourself? "That I'm God's perfect child and that there's nobody he loves more than me." Well, she's his perfect child and there's nobody God loves more than her. Well, do you know, I had to sit like that for 2 hours before I could bring myself to do it for her the way I did it for me. But when I did, I loved that woman like I'd never loved her before. I forgot to tell you that I'd gone to church one night after we'd fallen out, and she did this awful reading which was aimed at me about the Babylonian woman and all sorts of things. And the next day, after I saw the truth so clearly about this woman, I went to church, and it was a Wednesday. And I'd swear there was a halo around her head. She was reading, and she had white hair. And I could almost see a halo round her head. And she did the most beautiful reading on love and unity. And at the end, she came down. I was in the back row. She walked down towards me. She kissed me and embraced me. And every member in the church was in tears. And I kissed her back, and she said, "Will you be up for lunch tomorrow as usual?" And I said, "Yes." And I went, and it was like it never happened. I didn't say, "Well, I worked it out this way," or "You worked it out that way." We never spoke of it. And I was in touch with that woman for 25 years after that, until she passed on, which is why I can tell that story. But that showed me, that's been like a beacon light to me, that this is the way we've got to work on our church problems. And then I had another problem when I was a new practitioner. a lot of people were coming and telling me things that this teacher of Christian Science had done. Shocking things that hurt them and offended them, and people left church because of them, and all sorts. And I was taking this all in. I was dwelling on it for about a year and thinking, what should I do? Should I tell Boston about this? You'd think you would learn once about telling Boston. But I thought, no, that's not the way. And one night I had a patient. There was a meeting on in our church, and some of this woman's students were having this Sunday school meeting. And they were opposed to me because they knew that I'd been a bit outspoken about this teacher and things that she had done and said and the way she'd hurt people. And I felt that I was suffering from malpractice. But my son went out with the peace people, Paul, he was only 15 then, and they were going into a very dangerous area to give out leaflets. And he went with another boy. And when they had gone out, I was home alone when a young woman in London called me. She had gone to London for an interview for a job, and she'd become violently sick. And she asked me to help her because her interview was the next morning. And I began to pray, know the truth about her. I told her to call me back in half an hour. She called me back. She was worse. I told her to call me back in another half hour. She was worse. In another half hour, she was worse. So I got down on my knees on the floor. And I said, "Dear God, what is it I need to know? What is it that's obstructing this woman's healing? What is it in me that needs changing?" And suddenly the thought came to me, remember the golden rule, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And I immediately thought of this woman